What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two-Time in the house. What's up, everybody?
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Hi, this is Heidi.
Nah. What's up, Sam? What's up, Sully Saul? What's going on over there? Is the weather getting warmer over in Pittsburgh?
Actually, you know what? It is. We're actually getting better weather. Oh, yeah. It snowed a couple weeks ago, but everything is now warming up, and I love it. All right, folks. On this episode of The Salty Show, the most transparent recount in history is taking place in Maricopa County, in your guys' stomping grounds. 9 cameras are live streaming the whole thing. And I'm hooked. I've been watching this almost every night. I ain't got shit to do, so I'm literally watching 9 cameras. Oh yeah, it's like watching paint dry. Also, Gavin Newsom, the recall election is taking place. Republican she/her Caitlyn Jenner, formerly Bruce Jenner, has had in the ring, and we'll see if it's a good thing for Republicans or not. Biden attended the virtual climate summit that included many world leaders, and hilarity ensued. we'll talk about what happened.
Fucking
there.
Wore a mask on a Zoom call.
All that and more on this episode of The Salty Show.
Oh dear God.
I hate him. I hate that man.
Yeah.
The Salty Show.
.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we got Jeremy back. We're still missing Heidi. Heidi's taking care of the kids today, and hopefully she'll be back next time, but we're going to have to hold down the show without her. Yep.
Good talk.
All right, so let's get to this, guys. So, Jeremy, I know you've been busy fixing up your house, so I understand you have not had an opportunity to see what's going on in the news lately. So we'll try to catch you up.
Yes, I've been a little preoccupied with some home owner fun, so the news has been kind of low priority. So I'm kind of interested to catch up and see what's going on here.
All right, well, we're gonna give you the rundown of what's happening now. The first thing I want to get to is...
We're going
to
give you the fake news rundown.
Well, we're going to give you our understanding of what's happening. So, because again, folks, this is The Salty Show. This is not the most trusted name in news, CNN.
You know what? We might actually be like a step above them.
Yeah, we'll all right. So let's get to this. The Arizona audit. Is there a recount going in Georgia? Because I keep seeing tweets from people posting some freaking results. So I don't know. We're not going to talk about the Georgia one, if there is one. Let's talk about what's happening in Arizona. Now, right now, the liberal media is painting this as some crazy right-wing effort. OAN is involved, you know, right-wing news. However, folks, remember, like I said in the introduction, this is probably the most... can you think of any other time? Jeremy, there are 9 cameras recording from different... They're at the Memorial Coliseum in downtown Phoenix. And they have basically I'm going to show you. I should show you what it looks like. But they have pallets, right? And you can see this. All the ballots are there. They're on one side. They're going to get processed in the middle. And then they end up on one side. So the whole thing is transparent. You can see it recorded. If you don't trust the process, go online, azaudit.org, and you'll be able to see the whole thing. Yeah.
So... this is for all of Maricopa County or all of Arizona?
Maricopa County.
Just Maricopa County.
They have taken every ballot that was sent to them or delivered or...
2 million plus.
Whatever. Right. Well, you're right. So, and they're going to recount them.
By hand.
Right.
By hand.
But not just the recount, Jeremy. They're doing a forensic audit
Audit.
Meaning that they have, what are those lights called? Those UV lights?
UV lights.
And what they're looking for is what I've heard they're looking for is, some people were talking about there might be a watermark on these ballots. Other people are saying that they're probably looking for, you know how when you fill out a form, you leave oil residual on a form? And so a lot of these, a lot of these mail-in ballots are filled out by hand. And so you expect to see, you know, somebody's, you know, you leave, you know, your hand, your palm, or your fingers.
As you write on the form, your hand is getting dragged up and basically down the page.
Even
as
when
you go.
Even when you turn the ballot, you know, you pull it out of the mail, like your fingers are. Not everybody that would have mail-in ballot used gloves. Some crazy people did.
Okay,
so
sure. So, but I guess the question I have is. What?
So real quick, let me finish it up real quick. So as they're using the UV light, apparently they're also looking for creases in the ballot.
Yes.
Right. So the mail-in ballots, they're folded. So now they're trying to say, you know, look and say, well, if we had something that's a mail-in ballot and it's not folded,
it's not a mail-in ballot.
We have questions about it, but the way Maricopa is supposed to do it is, mail-in ballots are supposed to go here and regular ballots go here, right? Because they have different criteria for mail-in ballots and all that. Okay. So this audit also, they have different stations, and each station, the people running it, they're color-coded. So they have to wear different colored shirts. Mm-hmm. So like the yellow team is handling the mail-in ballots. Then they do their part. Then they give it to the next person, you know, the next table, which is like the green team. They do their part. Then it goes to the blue team. They do their part. And then it goes, I think there's like an orange team, and that's it. You know, so there's a whole chain. Not everybody's just doing one piece. And they got the Dominion machines.
And here's another thing. We'll get to the Dominion machines, but here's another thing with the ballots that anybody right now, you can sign up to go and monitor this. Okay, folks. Now I want you to remember what happened on election night. When the Democrats were trying to hide the counting. We all saw this, folks. We all saw this in every single freaking city and county. And people were putting up boards and hiding people from it. This is not what you're seeing here in this audit. This is transparent. Again, it is 24/7. They have cameras right now in the middle of the night. You can log in and you can see that nobody's there. Again, This is as transparent as you can be. However, the media is painting it as, well, why are we doing this? And how do we know who's paying for this? Yeah, Jeremy.
So, okay. So basically, these are all the ballots that they've received. Are they doing any sort of checks to say John Smith voted? John Smith died 2.5 years ago. How did he vote?
They're checking everything.
Great. I love it. I think this is great.
But dude, the drama that's behind this.
Who cares?
No.
Who cares?
Hold on.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it.
So
I just want to mention one more thing here. The way they're doing it in Maricopa, in my opinion, this needs to be the gold standard on how it gets done. And everywhere else where this may come in Pennsylvania, I'm looking at you because there's talk about that Pennsylvania might do this. And I think the way that Arizona is doing it has been smart. Now, to your point, what was it that you asked? I'm sorry.
Dead voters or?
Jesus.
You asked. Are they checking
names for valid voters? Yeah. Are they checking addresses? Yes. Right, because I remember seeing something on the internet where I think it was Crowder,
double voters.
He would take voter addresses and they would go to the address and it's an empty lot.
Yeah,
they're like, nobody lives here. How can this person have voted saying that they live here when there's not even a house here? It's just a dirt lot. I love it.
Okay. I mean, but that's a full forensic audit. Like, you are auditing every piece of that ballot. Did that person vote three times? Is that ballot legit? Because if they're not seeing any markings on the mail-in ballots, I believe they're putting them to the side so they can validate that they weren't auto printed.
Right.
Because, you know, a number in New York, people are actually getting ballots with the ovals filled out already.
Yeah. So, so we all know that one of the ways that you can cheat on an election is to introduce a bunch of ballots that nobody actually got, right? You print up 10,000 ballots and you fill all them bubbles in for who you want. And then you get them into the system somehow. So this audit sounds like they're checking valid names.
Right.
Valid addresses.
Right.
Did the paper actually get touched by more than one person? I'm assuming that when they scan the ballots into the machines or when they count the votes, do they wear gloves? I wouldn't think so, right?
I want to touch on the point on now the machines, right? Because if there is a discrepancy, right? Because these ballots went through a machine that counted this and did that whole process. What they're going to do also is, and here is where the Democrats are upset about this whole thing, is they've taken all the machines that were in Maricopa County, these Dominion machines, and they are looking at how the software worked, what it did. They are doing and also a forensic audit on the machines. And Democrats are upset that they're doing this because they're saying, well, if they break those machines, you know, we spent millions. The party that loves spending money all of a sudden is concerned about the millions that are being spent to do this audit.
Wait, they're concerned about breaking a machine? I mean, they're physically taking the machine apart to figure out how it works?
They, to a certain extent, I don't know how far, but they are opening up the machines. They're kind of trying to see how they work. Yeah.
So it seems to me like so if you told me, hey, we have concerns about the what these machines are putting out, the first thing I would do is fill out 500 ballots.
Right.
And do, you know, 250 for one, 250 for the other, run them through. And if I don't get that 250 for one, 250 for two results out of that machine, then they're, you know, that's step one, right?
True. That you're right, Jeremy. But I think a lot of people were making the point that these machines were hooked up to the internet and therefore.
Right. That you'd have a really difficult time.
Right. And a lot of people have shown how easy it is for them just to flip a certain number of votes. And that's what you saw on election night.
Easily.
You saw a flip, it literally, and we saw it like on the ticker in the CNN, they had, you know, Trump by 15,000 somewhere. And then boom, the next update, it was flipped like as if Trump lost 15,000 and Biden gained 15,000. So that's what they're investigating. So it's not just the ballot count, which, you know, should show, look, the machines obviously didn't count this correctly. However, they're also looking into if what type of manipulation happened on those machines and if they are vulnerable to be hacked, you know, and if they are by who now. Yeah, go ahead.
So, okay, I got a question. So the next election that we have, and if they haven't figured out that you can't have these machines hooked to the internet or they shouldn't be hooked to anything at all, that just blows my mind.
Right.
Do you think we should have logging devices that show every piece of internet traffic that goes to and from those devices?
Yeah, I think what they need
and
to
so
do.
So we could do an audit on the data that was not only sent out of those machines that were brought into those machines from the internet.
So I don't know who paid for this, but I remember last year,
the senators,
they did an investigation where they found that there was an extraordinary or an inordinate amount of traffic going between certain sites back to Germany, I believe, that people were suggesting what was this traffic and what type of data is getting sent back, you know, to these out of the country. And so, look, a lot of this is speculation. I don't know for a fact. Don't take my word as gospel. I'm talking about what they're doing to get to, you know, if there is suspicion that these machines were manipulated, there is effort to try and figure that out. Now, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, why are we wasting our time? The election happened. It's been certified. We went through this whole process, yada, yada, yada. And true, I'll give that to people. This is not going to be enough to overturn an election. What happens in Arizona is not going to be enough, but it certainly is enough to draw doubt in what happened. And so to me, that would be a win because that tells us, hey, we are acknowledging that something is wrong and we need to take steps to fix it, whether that is going to a different manufacturer that makes these machines, that counts machines or whatever. But we need answers because the most popular man in history, we're going to talk about his approvals. A lot of those numbers do not add up. You know, based on what we've seen in the past and what we're seeing right now, this does not add up. There was cheating that happened. And I think the Democrats know this very well, because you're seeing them take efforts right now to stop this counting. The Democrats right now have tried to pull all the stops to make sure that this is, does not happen. From they've even gotten to the point right now where they just changed the judge. The judge was overseeing this has been replaced because of conflict of interest. Yeah.
So I guess the one of the questions I have is, what is the process if you feel as though an election in your state was manipulated somehow and you would like to have a recall? How do you even go about starting that?
This is how they're doing it.
So, but how did they do it? They start a petition.
Mm-hmm. No. So what they did was they had the evidence. They had their hearings. Remember when the Giuliani mm-hmm. hearings and the Jenna Ellis and all
so
that?
So somebody has to actually sue the state to do it?
Well, they had their hearing. And then when they, that's why they gave their own, they put their own, what the hell is it? They sent them to Washington.
D.C. The electors. They had their own electors.
Yeah, the electors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they gave their own electors, even though Ducey certified it, and you know the certified is what they counted, but they did all that, and then they went through their legislature process to say we are going to do a forensic audit, and then once it got approved, it got held up in court and everything, because I think it got approved really quick, because you're allowed to demand Arizona. Okay. I mean, all these laws, that's why they have to keep ballots up for 6 months, 7 months or something like that, because they got it. You know, you have to be able to backtrack, sure, and do an audit on him. And by law, if they want to do an audit, they can. It's just now it's being fought because.
All right. So it's part of the law. In order for you to execute an audit, you have to meet, I'm assuming you have to meet some sort of criteria. You can't just, you know, some crazy cat woman can't just pop out of nowhere and go, I demand an audit. And then the state spends millions of dollars redoing an audit. Right.
Yeah. And I think as Tim mentioned, what the hearings showed, there's a lot of people who were firsthand witnesses to what was happening. People who were working at these poll places who were saying, I saw this, there was that. And so the Arizona Senate, you know, with all this evidence, you know, that was presented, they said, well, we're going to do this. And again, it's unprecedented because I have never seen. And again, what I'm calling unprecedented is the transparency that you're seeing. Again, 9 cameras. You can go right now, folks, AZ, they're going to be doing this for a month or so, azaudit.org. And you're going to be able to see any camera that you want to see, any angle you want to see, on what's happening any hour of the day right now, even in the middle of the night, you can go and stream and see what's happening. To me, that's transparent. Now, the Democrats have been saying that this, well, why are we doing this? We shouldn't trust this. And again, that's the party.
Shouldn't trust this?
Yes.
What do you mean you shouldn't trust it?
Yeah. So here's another thing, dude, that I want to also highlight. In every single turn, they're losing every single thing. For right now, it's not going how the Democrats wanted, because again, remember I just said that the judge was replaced. Well, turns out, and he was replaced because there was a conflict of interest with one of the attorneys who was challenging this whole thing. Well, turns out that the judge that replaced that guy, it was a Democrat appointee, a former Arizona Democrat governor, Janet Napolitano, who also has a conflict of interest because he has ties with law firms that the attorneys that are challenging the audit. So this whole thing is not going how they want it, because now that judge is going to have to recuse themselves because, again, it's a conflict of interest. But the Democrats are pulling every stop. Now, if they are so confident in the results, why?
No, they're not confident.
Why are they? Exactly. No, they are not.
No, they're confident in the results that they got. They're not. Exactly. They're also confident that by doing this, it's going to uncover shit. You don't go. Right. You don't send 73 lawyers to Arizona on a Friday to meet an 11 o'clock hearing for the judge to say, "Look, by 5 o'clock, we will stop the audit if you come up with $1 million bond to pay for, you know, and make sure to cover all the stuff." Democrats said, "No, we're not doing that."
Wait, say that again. The Democrats sent 73
lawyers on Friday.
Friday night.
Friday morning.
To stop the audit.
Yes. So it went to court.
73 lawyers.
Yeah. So the judge heard the case and he told him, he goes, look, at 5 o'clock, we will suspend the audit if you can come up with $1 million bond. And on Monday at 11 o'clock, you know, today, the hearing at 11 was supposed to be to hear about the process, right? But because they didn't come up with $1 million bond, right?
And so
it continues.
The $1 million bond is to cover the state's expense for halting the election because they still have to pay those people
something
to sit
like
around.
I'm trying
to talk through it, right? So the state of Arizona is paying rent at the Coliseum for the space. I'm sure they're paying for security for that space. They're paying the workers to go in there and count. They're paying internet bandwidth for all these videos that people are watching. They're paying for all this stuff. So when the Democrats fly in, 73 of them apparently, and decide, well, no, you need to stop doing that. It's like, well, we still have to pay the rent. We still have to pay the video. We still have to pay the security. So in order for us to stop our audit, you need to put up at least $1 million to cover those expenses for however long this takes, right? So this is legit. They do this stuff all the time, right? This isn't just something that Arizona decided to make up because we don't like voters.
So they decided we're not going to pay the bond. So Saturday, Friday night, they kept going with the audit Saturday all day. And then this morning, the bombshell dropped that, the lawyer, this lawyer has a tie that like they found a lawyer to help fight the case, something that's tied to
one of the 73
for the yeah,
oh, dear Lord.
That has a tie to the judge. So now the judge had to recuse himself, right? By recusing, they said, "Oh, all the rulings he made on this are done. They're."
So wait, so if you don't like the judge who's making decisions on your case,
I know what you're
going to
get.
Hire a lawyer. If you hire a lawyer that they know
exactly,
yeah,
has a relationship with that judge, you could just slide these lawyers in left and right and get judges.
Why do you think they didn't pay the $1 million bond?
Because they're not
because they knew that they were gonna. This was gonna be their next hand, and they were they're probably hoping for. I don't know who they were hoping for. I think they were hoping for this guy. You know, to be honest with you, everything I'm reading, they're like, this guy's gonna stop it, right? But it's a 10-day. So they're gonna have a hearing tomorrow because they're gonna try to stop it, but. Apparently, this is going to take 10 days to present all the evidence and whatnot. But during those 10 days, the audit doesn't stop, from my understanding.
I don't.
If it goes through. But then also.
Yeah. Why are they
hold on. But at the Arizona Supreme Court level, the Republicans are bringing a case saying, hey, the courts can't get involved in this because this is separation of power.
Right.
So now so the Republicans have their, and the AZ Supreme Court is hearing it, I believe, later on this week or next week, that they're going to be, they're going to possibly rule in favor of and saying, look, the superior courts are getting involved in an audit, but that's the legislature's job. You know what I mean? The courts shouldn't be getting involved in what's defined by the Constitution. This is in our right to do. So this is, and everyone's freaking out because all the laws are like this. But nobody's ever challenged it to this level. And Hobbs apparently came out, Secretary, State Hobbs. She's a dirty bitch, by the way. A very dirty bitch. She apparently just came out now saying, this is going to set a really dangerous precedent for the entire country.
Yeah, we're going to have
Bitch, what? Wait a minute. We're going to hold your ass accountable, bitch.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Dangerous for who?
Politicians.
Yeah, dangerous for the Democrats.
But the report came out that this fucking dirty bitch, man, Soros funded her, fucking Clinton funded her, all these China donated to this bitch. Fuck so, you, Hobbs, you fucking twat.
And this is what needs to happen. And I think it's coming, man. I think Arizona, who did I hear says, all you need is one, right? One domino and it'll set off the rest. Right. Yeah, exactly. And I love that. I love that analogy because one falls and that's it. It's just the domino effect. Now, again, folks, this is happening in Arizona. It's coming to, if you live in one of those states that has a Republican government, but is ran by liberals. I think this is the opportunity right now. It's maybe the last stand that we have as conservatives to fight this insanity because the Democrats are doing everything that they can so that Republicans don't win elections anymore. I'm talking about they're going to make Washington, D.C. into a statehood. Oh, they're going to try to pack the courts. They're already putting in within 100 days, they're doing all this shit to try and usurp power from the American people. Yep.
What is the reasoning behind making Washington, D.C. a state?
Two more senators.
Two more senators.
It's a liberal city.
Yep. Predominantly.
Yep. So why hasn't, I mean, obviously Washington, D.C. has been around since, well, I guess the original capital is in New York. Basically the 13 colonies, right? Washington, from the founding of the hundreds of years. It's been its own thing for hundreds of years, and all of a sudden they decided to make it a state. And it's not that large, right? It's like the size of a regular city, right?
Yeah, it's pretty small. And it shares, I think it's...
Why would you even...
Well, because like Tim said, is because they're trying to get two more senators, right? They're trying to create that little island of land, which is, you know, it was the idea. And look, but it needs to be approved by, I think this needs to go to the process of the states need to approve. It's been done in the past where some states become, you know, if there were territories, they get, what is that called? Part of the union. Ah, I forgot the term. Jesus, I was just reading about this.
Yeah, they it's the same thing for like, was it Puerto Rico and is it Guam? Those are, they suspect that those two would be the next states that enter the union.
And so this is another reason why Democrats prefer D.C., a little island that is, you're talking about, you're not representative, you're not, they're saying that this place does not have representation in Congress. Really, all of you work in government. What do you mean you don't have representation? It's like, stop. And so this is not going to pass. I don't think.
Hold on. So you said the reason that they're claiming is that there's people living in Washington, D.C. who don't get a vote. That's their answer or their.
Or they don't have people who represent them.
They just take a. Okay, why don't they just divide the city up into, let's just say, four or five parts and say, okay, this part is closest to Virginia.
Exactly.
You now vote in the Virginia. Okay.
Maryland. And so that's what the Republicans are arguing, saying, why doesn't Maryland take part of that side? Why doesn't Virginia take this side? And so this is what, you know, would make the most sense.
Right.
Democrats don't want to do that. Democrats wants to create, one of the smallest states in the union, and they wanted to have two because they want the power. And so, look, it's not going to fly. I think it's going to get challenged like everything else that they're trying to do. They're trying to add judges to the court, four more judges, just so that they can have the majority. And they've been debating this all week. Cruz gave a great response to a reporter who asked him a question. Is like, well, it's not court packing. And Cruz says, well, what do you think is going to happen when the Republicans get into office? They're just going to add four more judges. And then they're just going to add four more. And it's going to become 50 judges are going to be now sitting in the bench. So it now just becomes political. It's no longer what it was meant to be. He says, we've had nine judges for 150 years. And all of a sudden, Democrats come into power and now they want to change it. It's not about, you know, oh, we need to do this. No, this is about power. And they're trying to politicize the court. And it's true. Look, we're going to move on to the next subject because we've touched on this one. And there's a bunch to get to. Biden's approval rating right now is plummeting since he took office, which if we look at history, folks, I'm not making this up. Go research it. Most presidents, when they win, especially a president who wins a majority like Biden did, Jesus Christ, how many? 88 million votes.
Amen.
The most popular president in American history. Most presidents enjoy, you know, a few months of their approval ratings actually increasing because the country wants to get over it. And they're like, okay, well, let's give this guy a chance. Biden's approval rating has not increased. In fact, it's decreased. That shows you that this is why we're having a recount, because there was some cheating involved. And it's not just this. You know, if we look at this and say, oh, well, this is an anomaly. Okay, well, no. Let's look at what are those counties called that flip? Jesus Christ. Bellwether counties across America. You know, most presidents will win, you know, a majority of this or get a good chunk of them. Biden wins the most popular vote with the less amount of bellwether counties. again, this goes against what historically has happened. And to me, that shows that, hey, the Democrats cheated, and they cheated in certain areas where they knew they could. And these audits are going
to... where it would be most efficient for them to cheat, right? Let's face it, with the Electoral College, you can manipulate those numbers by cheating in just particular areas. You don't have to spread it across the entire country. All you got to do is you got to hit a certain strategic locations.
And they hit those locations.
Bada boom, bada bing.
Exactly. Look at the locations that they're all worried about. Okay, number one, Pennsylvania. Okay? But they didn't go through the entire state of Pennsylvania. They got Philly because that's the most dense area.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Michigan. Where did they go? Detroit. Most dense area. Where did they go in Wisconsin? I believe it was Madison. Right? I believe it was Madison, Wisconsin, right? Where they hit the most. Right? Or Milwaukee. I'm sorry. Like, they picked the most dense areas in those swing states, knowing that, well, we won that. We win the state. So that's why they were so focused on Philadelphia, Atlanta. You know, Atlanta was another one, right?
Right.
You know, they had to increase those votes. Yeah. They had to take the most dense counties, right? And put it out there, because now you could put a story to it. And the story was, oh, we had the biggest, you know, turnout of, you know, minority voters, you know, Hispanics, Black, Indians, Asians, and they love Joe Biden because Trump is the racist. Now you can paint a pretty picture. Because now when you try to do this shit, they go, see, the white supremacist. This whole thing is about painting a picture.
But see, even
and it's a
that,
perfect
Tim,
picture if you look at it.
But even that, Tim, the whole, you know, he's got, this is the first time that any Republican has gained votes among Hispanics. Like, no Republican has ever won so many Hispanic votes and loses. You know, again, this goes against everything that's happened in history, right? A president that's riding high on the economy, a president that has, you know, this type of approval rating, everything that was set into place. And folks, you guys remember, I don't know if you guys went to rallies. I went to a Trump rally out here in Pennsylvania. And I had been to many rallies before. I went to all the Bush rallies. I went to the even Mitt Romney, some of those rallies out in Arizona. And I have never seen a rally like this for a president. And you're telling me that he lost? I never saw that for Biden. They're still having rallies for President Trump to this day.
Dude, they had the Trump boat parade out in Tampa this weekend, bro. Yeah, and it was packed.
How does a person who has this much approval rating lose? It's so we're all living a lie, and this cheat is going to expose it exactly. Now,
so he went into the election. Well, real quick, I've never even seen this either. A president going into the election with a 50, but he was averaging between 49 to 52, and I think on election day he had a 50 or 51% approval rating. That means half the country likes you. That means this should be a shoo-in to win the president. Like, you would think, like, you would win the presidency with a 51% like approval rating. That means people like the job you're doing. Why would you get rid of the person doing a good job for somebody you don't know? Like, it just does not make sense.
Well, if you're judging,
they waited on Democrats every time. Always plus seven.
Those are two separate questions, all right? Is Donald Trump doing a good job? My answer to that can be yes. And who are you voting for? Joe Biden, right? Wow. Sure, Trump's doing a good job, but he's orange man bad, and he's making America look bad, right? In someone's opinion. And so I'm just going to he's doing a fine job, but he needs to get out because, you know, XYZ. And so I'm going to vote for Biden, right? So favorable, or is he doing a good job? I don't think would directly correlate to, I going to vote for him for president?
But it's not going to hurt him. But it's not going to hurt him.
No, you know what exactly.
I mean? In fact, it might help him. So, look, one thing that I did want to mention also was, because when we talk about Joe Biden, again, the most popular president in history. Now, his approval rating is declining. And again, it goes against everything that's happened in the past. Most presidents enjoy a few months of their approval rising because, again, most people are like, you know what? It's over. Let's give this guy a chance. Nobody's giving this guy a chance, and he's not helping himself because, as Tim stated to begin with, Biden is about to lose the Hispanic vote with his latest agenda. What is his latest agenda? He wants to reduce the consumption of reduce the consumption of red meat by 90%. So no more carne asada, fam. This is Joe Biden. This is the,
What is the argument for that?
Yeah. Because look, I'm not going to get you. Biden wants to take away your carne asada. I love this. Jorge Bonilla.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I mean, they turned around and there was some controversy about this, saying that it's really, this was blown out of proportion, but people are like, he would never do that. But then I'm like, no, this is part of that green agenda. You know,
So did he actually make like a press announcement saying that this?
No, or where apparently it got leaked by like the Daily Mail UK. You know, like they like this DailyMail.UK news group reports more on American news than American news outlets.
Sure.
So they are the ones who broke that story, and it kind of got
News. Fox News.
Got the
Well, I mean, look,
we're having a laugh about it. We don't know for sure, but I don't. Yeah. I don't see this being too far out.
I don't see America giving up 90% of their meat. I just don't see that happening.
And I don't see America not celebrating the 4th of July. But according to Biden, he still hasn't decided if we can celebrate the 4th of July. It depends on what happens with COVID. I'm not kidding.
I never thought I would see Americans give up their liberties.
Yeah.
And put a fucking diaper on their face.
I didn't.
And walk around and be like, I'm still afraid to go out of my house, and I got two shots, and I still don't want to be around people because I'm afraid to leave the house.
I got two shots and three masks.
No, seriously.
Exactly.
I don't want to get off topic.
But you make a great point, dude, because like Tim says, man, a lot of people suspended. They ignored their education, their critical thinking, their goddamn common sense, bro. A lot of people, to propagate a lie that the pandemic or plandemic was upon us. And what the fuck? And so like we're all saying is, it's hard to believe that Biden would do that, but is it really after what we've seen in the last year?
Dude, this was the coronavirus, China virus, Wuhan virus, whatever the fuck you want to call it. SARS-2, whatever.
Wuhan.
Yeah. This was the modern day 9/11. Catastrophe happened. You put fear in everybody. No. Hold on.
It wasn't even a catastrophe happened. There was a possibility of a catastrophe.
Exactly. Wait, hold on. Let me finish.
Slam on the brakes.
Let me finish. So 9/11 happened. After that, they go, we need to do the Patriot Act because we got to stop terrorists. And whatever American go, oh, that's a good fucking idea. And then you find out they're spying on you. They're fucking tapping your phone. You gave the government so much power. You suspended your constitutional rights with the Patriot Act in the name of stopping a bunch of people from flying airplanes into a building, right? This is no different. You have given up all your liberties. Oh, you want to go to religion? You want to go to church? You can't because you can only have 10 people in congregation. Oh, that's a good idea because now you're spreading the virus through fucking singing and dancing and happiness. So you literally just gave the government the power to say, constitutional rights don't mean shit. You're so dumb that you don't realize that the Constitution does not get suspended because of fucking quote unquote pandemic.
Right.
Yeah. And you giving it up willingly and they ain't giving it back to you, homie. And then you got this fucking guy.
So here is the climate summit and you got Joe Biden, the only world leader on a Zoom meeting wearing a mask.
Because they told him his computer is infected with viruses.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Your computer can get a virus. You got to wear a mask, Joe.
How far we've fallen, dude. He's such a cuck.
Is that Italy laughing at us? Wait, is that Italy laughing? I don't know. Italy's like, he's got his hand on his cheek.
Italy's not even there.
Shaking his hand.
Yeah, he
just
is.
Just shaking right his here. Head going, oh my God.
Oh, but then the other one, the backup, guy. Oh, there's nobody.
Yeah. HOD. Yeah. You believe that? Yeah. They're just like, what is.
Even she is like, you fucking idiot. He's like, you are the weakest motherfucker. Yeah. You're weak.
He's definitely weak. To me, it's like you're on a Zoom call and you already been vaccinated.
Hey, he's got two shots.
But Raggedy Ann said he's trying Raggedy to. Ann. Raggedy Ann said he did it because he's sending the message that we should be wearing a mask. His fucking handlers are fucked up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. These motherfuckers are weakening this goddamn country more than anything else. Look, I've never gave a fuck about America until the last couple of years because you start. No. Because you live here, right? Like, I look at
my
liberties shouldn't be, wouldn't be taken away from me. But now that, when you start seeing like every motherfucker trying to take like your freedoms from you, you go, oh, wait a minute, sucker. Yeah. You know what I mean? But these fucking people want to destroy this country.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if the Chinese invaded, that the fucking dumb fucks in California be like, come on in. They would allow them to walk onto the fucking
shore.
You
bringing iPhones with you? Okay, yeah. Come on.
Oh, you got Nike shoes and iPhones and fucking H&M fucking clothes? Oh, come on in. We need you. Yeah. It's fucking disgusting.
And you know what? And right. You know, like we've said over and over again, to a certain extent, they've succeeded at the brainwashing to the point where Tim sends me this video of this guy singing to Dr. Fauci. No, you're gonna love this, Jeremy. You're gonna
sing. I've got two masks.
Exactly like that.
Somebody commented and said, "America, what was it? America's becoming over feminized." And the person's like, "No way!" And then they send him this video, and he's like, oh, "Okay, what again?" So let me show you this video. Jerry. God.
Is this happy thoughts? Wait, we had happy thoughts already?
Not yet. No, this is demoralizing, actually, because this is America.
Dr. Fauci, give us vaccines. Help all the people who have been quarantined. We'll wear our masks and we'll have to stay distant. We'll wash our hands and we'll be more resistant. Fauci, yes? Promise us, please. We'll have a cure that can fight off this disease. Restrictions will lift with some ease. Dr. Fauci, don't forget me.
What? Where was this?
New York.
Okay.
You know, the toughest place in this country. Don't fuck with me, bro. I'm from fucking New York. I will kick your fucking ass for you looking at me sideways. Oh, it's a virus? That's what it is. I'm sorry. You fucking hit from a fucking virus. You fucking, oh my God.
Oh, we need video back.
Did he pull his pants out? You bend over.
Take my temperature. So look,
and that's not the only. There's a lot of COVID cases out there. I'm going to show you another video. Again, this is
Am
not
I
the,
wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
I'm going to show you another
sorry,
one.
Saul. Yeah.
More COVID
crazy.
More COVID crazy. Oh, God damn it. Fucking TikTok, man. It ruins our life. More people are getting militant against people who are not wearing masks, and it's just out of control. Now,
seriously?
There was a woman who gave a speech, and I want to show you this one. Gives a great speech on the mask requirement for children. Like I said earlier, folks, a lot of people, educated people, suspended their logic, their education, their fucking common sense for a lie. And to propagate lies. But again, I like what she says. It's worth listening to.
Every month I come here and I hear the same thing. Social, emotional health. If you truly mean that, you would end the mask requirement tonight. Tonight. This is not March 2020 anymore. We have three vaccines. Every adult in the state of Georgia that wants that vaccine is eligible to get it right now. And every one of us knows that young children are not affected by this virus. They're not. And that's a blessing. But as the adults, what have we done with that blessing? We've shoved it to the side and we've said, we don't care. You're still going to wear a mask on your face every day, 5 and 6 year olds. You still can't play together on the playground like normal children, 7 and 8 year olds. We don't care. We're still going to force you to carry a burden that was never yours to carry. Shame on us. My 6-year-old looks at me every month before I come here and she says, are you going to tell them tonight? Tell them I don't want to wear this anymore. And I say, baby, it's not time to fight that battle yet. I try to explain that there's so many things, but it's April 15th, 2021, and it's time. Take these masks off of my child.
Amen.
and I know what I'm going to be met with. But Ms. Taylor, the CDC, we did not vote for people at the CDC.
She's single.
We did elect leaders who do create policy. We elected the five of you. We chose you to make difficult decisions for our children. We chose you to make decisions that would be in our children's best interest, enforcing 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9-year-old little children to cover their noses and their mouths where they breathe for 7 hours a day, every day for the last 9 months for a virus that you know doesn't affect them. That is not in their best interest. And this has to stop. Defend our children. My 6-year-old can't come up here and say this. It has to stop. Take these off of our children.
I can't imagine, man. Like, I say this from a position, like, I think for me coming out here, I can, you know, I mean, like, I know this is evil. This is wrong. This is wrong what you're doing to people. And you're forcing this on kids who are not even affected, dude. Makes no goddamn sense. No goddamn sense. But everybody's playing this stupid game to keep everybody happy, because the second that you say, well, is it really? Oh, well, you're anti-science. Oh, well, you're anti-this. You're for killing old people.
No, she brought up the very good point. This does not affect... Of course, effect is not the right word. Kids get sick, but they don't die from this disease. Why? That's science. It's proven. Why are we denying science when we say take masks off the kids?
Because masks work. And they'll be fine. Science. No,
Yeah. If masks work,
somebody made a point, and this is so true, because again, we've thrown out common sense. Somebody said this. Okay, we're dealing with the deadliest pandemic, we've been told. It's the deadliest pandemic out there, folks. Where are the biohazard bins where we throw our masks away? Right? Because if this is a fucking really serious virus, you'd be throwing that shit away somewhere where it needs to be contained. Where are those bins? Have you guys seen them?
In the ocean.
I haven't. You see what I'm saying? Like, so it's a fucking lie. That shit does not work. It's all an illusion.
It's all a lie.
It's all a fucking lie.
Yep. I said it from day one. To me, when you say the word pandemic and oh my God, if one out of five were literally dropping dead next to me, bitch, I'm gonna stay the fuck inside. You know what I mean? Shit, I don't want to be around that. But when you get it and you tell people after, like, oh my God, I can't believe you got it. And you're like, oh, it's nothing. And you tell them, I can't believe we shut down the country for this. Well, you had a mild case and you need to have empathy towards the people that were really sick. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Because you know what? If this thing affects everybody differently, doesn't the flu and pneumonia affect everybody differently?
Right, exactly. If I'm supposed to have an emotional response to the people who got sick and died from this, great. What about all the people whose lives you've ruined? The children whose lives you've ruined, you've taken away their childhood to save nobody, because the people who you get this disease and die from it are going to get it no matter what, right? This disease doesn't just magically disappear after, you know, oh, well, we put a 12-month time limit on this disease and it just disappears after 12 months. No, it's going to be around forever. Are you going to wear a mask forever?
Yes.
Are you going to shut down your economies forever?
Yes. No, you people can't already said that. People already saying that for the rest of their life, they will wear a mask. Well, if they are in decision. Any crowd and they expect everybody, they're like, oh, I didn't get a cold this year. My allergies are so much better. Blah, blah, blah.
That's fine. That's their choice. If they want to do that, that's fine. But don't make my kids do it. Don't ask me to do it, because I'm not going to. And don't fight me in the supermarket when you think I should wear a mask and I'm not.
They can't handle it, because you know what? It's like pea brains, right? Because they were told.
They've been told by someone of authority that you have to wear this mask.
Okay.
Over the weekend.
You know, that's the whole zero tolerance thing that we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
Over the weekend, one of the most beautiful sights I've seen in the last year. And I haven't seen many, but this one was beautiful.
Was it me?
No.
Did you see me?
No. In Jacksonville, Florida, Dana White held the first indoor event.
Yes.
UFC 260 something. Oh, I think there was like 25,000 people in an arena.
100%?
100% occupancy.
All right.
Right?
It's Tampa, so, you said?
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Okay, Florida, right?
Yeah, and, we got to move to Florida.
And his presser, it was actually pretty interesting because they were like, and he's like, man, he's like, and Dana White don't hold no shit back, right? So he basically said, you know, Florida's open. Everybody's doing their thing. He's like, people wore masks and people didn't. He's like, I didn't go up to the people not wearing a mask. Go, why are you wearing a mask? He's like, you wear a mask, you don't wear a mask. That's on you.
Sure.
But he's like, everybody was happy. And he's like, unlike a lot of these states that are fucking locked down, they're fucking miserable. And he said that basically like that.
Yeah.
You know,
are.
But he's like, Florida was happy. And Nevada, they wrote a really nasty article about UFC. And, you know, oh my God, they're a super spreader event in Jacksonville and everything. And he actually responded back. He's like, really, Nevada? He's like, I'm sitting here trying to bring one of the first events back to Las Vegas to bring joy to people. Yeah. And you're talking shit. He's Nevada's like, you know what? I should never do an event. And the only way you teach people a lesson, take the revenue away from them. Stop doing UFC fights in Vegas. Do it in Florida. Do it in Texas. Places that are open, even though Abbott's an asshole, but they're fully open. Embrace it. Bring your money somewhere else. Stop giving it to Vegas and people that don't give a shit about you, even though the mayor of Las Vegas switched to a Republican.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, man, a lot of shit is changing. We think, you know, the night is darkest right before the dawn, but the dawn is fucking coming. I love what Dana White said. People are happier in Florida. Hell yeah, they are. I don't know. Did you guys catch the UFC fight?
Yo!
Holy shit.
When Logan Paul broke his foot, and then when the girl knocked him out. Woo-wee! That girl kicked that bitch right in the face, and she went,
boom, done, dead.
Oh, my God.
Now, I love what she said. What was it? What was her name again? I forget her name. She's little girl Majuana or something. Dude, she fucking... earlier, there was a little controversy because she came out saying about her opponent, who was Chinese. You know, she was like, because I think she's Lithuanian and her family fled that communism during that time. And she was talking about, you know, saying better dead than red, meaning, you know, fuck
that's
communism.
That's an old statement, man. You don't hear that anymore.
But she said
we're going to start saying a lot more.
Sure. Yeah. But she said that and she was like, you know, and a lot of people criticized her. That's why the left came after her and they didn't like that she won, and she won in such a decisive way, man. TKO. For liberty, hell yeah, hell yeah, I love it.
I mean, she kicked all right. I mean, they score up, they're squaring up, doing that little boom, boom, boom,
that whack. Out.
And you heard this thing, the Joe Rogan and the other commentators. They caught that by video. They're explaining. He's like, he didn't even make a noise. His face was just like.
So Joe Rogan's still doing UFC commentary.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you got to pull up that video. His facial expression.
Yeah, this was
something I've never seen. That was probably one of the best.
This is right at the beginning of the fight?
Yeah.
It was the first round, yeah.
How long
this did it let me see first round? Let me play for you a little bit of this. Yeah, this is great, actually. Joe Rogan's reaction. There's a GIF that was all over the Twitter sphere. This is it right here.
Joe's reaction.
Look at it.
I want to see the kick now. I don't want to see his reaction. I want to see the kick.
Let me show the kick, because that's actually worth watching, because it was actually a great fight. Hold on.
This was a Lithuanian against a
UFC.
Well, she's a former Lithuanian. Knockout. She's American. She represents America now because she became American.
Okay. Yeah. And was it the same with the other opponent? She's actually American, but she's of Chinese.
No, she's Chinese.
Oh, she is Chinese. Okay.
Yeah, it's Wang Wei.
Ladies and gentlemen, referee Keith Peterson has called a stop to this contest at 1 minute, 18 seconds of the very first round.
Declaring the 1 minute, 18 seconds in.
Yeah, dude.
Holy cow. Why does she cry? You can't strip you can't put a UFC belt on someone who's crying.
Oh, you're gonna see Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan starts crying with her.
Oh. Well, American dream right there, man. Come to America, you work hard, you train hard.
You shook up the world again.
I did it again, but God did it, man. I really just had to have faith in him, and that's what got me through.
You were so focused,
Before the fight started, you were standing over there, and as Bruce Buffer was saying your name, you were saying to yourself, I'm the best. I'm the best.
I am the best.
Not a mask in sight, bro. I love that shit.
You certainly are. There's no doubt about that now. You caught her with a left high kick off the front leg. It was perfect. It was about as perfectly placed as possible. She was upset, and she was defending the stoppage, but that was just because she didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see her moving. I wasn't sure if she was going to come back from that, and just a couple of hammer fists, and I feel like that was out.
Rose, there's some special moments in MMA, and I feel like I just witnessed a real one. You got me crying up here.
I'm sorry, but hey, man, all that stuff that was in the media and stuff, that was not my intent to ever personally attack her as a person. It's just my history and my past, and that's it. I love all people, all cultures, everybody in the world. And as a matter of fact...
Fred Rose. Fred.
And as a matter of fact, I want to, with this, I want to build Earthship MMA academies around the world. I think that's going to be a solution to a lot of our problems in the world. So that's my plan.
Rose, amazing performance tonight. As always, it's an honor to call your fight. Thank you very much.
Done.
Oh, wow.
Did you see that kick?
Dude,
ooh. Yeah.
She was like, what? No more communism for you, bitch.
Smack the communism out of you.
She's like, man,
not
dead.
The communist. Not the communist. Not the communist.
Not the mama.
You know, and I think it's not fights like communism. that you know, people love watching. She actually referenced the show because, again, she's from Lithuania, and she referenced something that happened in the 92 elections. You guys remember this was during the Dream Team. This was during the Jordan, the era of Jordan and Barkley and all. You remember that? And there was, they call it the Other Dream Team was the name of, I think, that movie that came out, the documentary that talked about the Lithuanian team. Because what happened during the Soviet Union, they would get Lithuanian players and force them to play for the Russian team and win.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so it's actually a pretty cool story about, you know, the end of the Iron Curtain, the end of communism in Eastern
Europe.
Yeah,
that was the
first
Olympics.
Yeah.
That was the first Olympics since the, you know, first Summer Olympics since, you know, from the time the Berlin Wall collapsed.
Yeah, well, yeah. So it was...
Just they brought it down.
I plan to watch the documentary, but that's a documentary that she referenced when she said that. Because, again, she got a lot of flack for that. Obviously, you know, because we're in an era where people want to bring freaking communism and socialism are no longer dirty words in America, apparently. Anyway, all right. So let's move on. Let's see, what else do we have? You guys want to talk about Caitlyn Jenner running against Gavin Newsom? Check, is this a checkmate?
Sure.
Is this a checkmate for the Republicans? What do you guys think? I mean, it is California.
No,
or do you think it's going to be the same thing that we tried with Arnold Schwarzenegger? It's going to be a big old fucking mess.
No, so you got to remember, Caitlyn Jenner is throwing her name in the hat, but that doesn't mean that she's going to win, or right. Even she might not even run. You know, she's just saying, I'm going to throw the bid in, but
so
who knows? But the problem is, real quick, what I'm seeing is this is where the GOP does not have good leadership right now, because right now the Democrats, they're all behind Pelosi and Schumer. They're leading the charge, even though AOC runs her mouth and Ilhan Omar, they step out of line, but they get roped back in. Okay. The GOP right now, they're all over the place. Like all the people, like, you know, that you're seeing on Twitter, like the prominent people that were all together for MAGA, you know, for Trump. Now that Trump's gone, they're at each other's throats. You got the conservative one, the conservative Christian saying, oh, if the GOP is the party of Grinnell and Caitlyn Jenner, you know, this is going to cause a problem. You're going to dissuade voters. This is anti-Christian. But then you got the people that were the walkaways going, guys, like we walked away from that shit to help this out. So you're seeing a lot of crazy shit. There's no good leadership. So yeah, I think it's going to blow up.
So well, you're just asking if so. I have a quick question.
Yeah.
So they did a petition and they recall. Got enough signatures. So they're doing is it a recall election? Are they
recall?
Yeah, basically, how does that work? Is it they have an election that's and people say, yes, he's kick him out or no, he can stay?
No. So the recall is they got the votes to get him out early to force an election. So they're going to have a special election.
So he can run again.
Yeah, he can run in that special election.
Okay.
It's just that it's when you have both. So he keeps calling it. They keep calling it. It's a Republican schmear campaign. But
yeah,
a recall is nonpartisan, right? It's not like, oh, here's all the Republicans saying no.
Yeah, it's all media.
Yeah.
So basically he is he running as the Democratic again?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think another Democrat could throw the ring and kind of throw it off and basically
outdo him. Okay, yeah. So then
they can primary. I don't know. Yeah, because they had a special election. They've had a special election like maybe about 14, 15 years ago in California. They had a special election again.
Yeah,
I think it was to throw out some other crazy Democrat.
I would want to be the governor of California. It is so screwed up.
Yeah, you can't get shit done. That's one of those states. It's so big that it encompasses so much different demographics. They need to break it up. A lot of people are asking that it be broken up into at least three different states or something like that. But, you know, I never know. But, you know, to your point, Tim, you know, you're talking about there is division in the Republican Party. There is the Democrats also are having their own little fight in they're not sticking together as much as we thought they were gonna, because you know right now the Democrats are dealing with Joe Manchin, which is a thorn on their side because he's probably the only Democrat right now that refuses to give in to the left's crazy scorched earth policies, basically that they're trying to do, which is they want to add four judges, they want to do away with the Second Amendment. You know, the Democrats are pushing a lot of this shit, and Joe Manchin appears to be the only Democrat still with a moderate that is not playing along with them, and he's in the Senate. And so he, you know, even though they have a 51 with the vote of Kamala Harris majority, you know, he's still a thorn on their side, and so he's not playing along with it. And he's a moderate again from West Virginia. Yep.
Same with Sinema. Sinema is, you know, she's on that fence. But when, you know, everyone's saying right now, like with Manchin is, you know, he's talking the talk, but we'll see when it comes walking the walk. But if he does that, he's out as the senator. The West Virginia vote him out.
We'll see. Opinion. I mean, I think he's remained moderate for a reason. I think because that's the only way he can win in. So we're talking about, I know that right now that what's been happening, but something interesting happened. AOC comes out saying climate change is the cause for racial injustice. And one of the stars in the Republican Party, Marjorie Taylor Greene, has challenged AOC to a debate. I don't know if you heard about this, Tim. They're going to debate. Uh-huh.
And she accepted. I can't wait to see that. That should be a pay-per-view. Oh, wow. I would pay $50 to watch that debate, by the way. I would pay $50 to watch that.
Does it end with a kick to AOC's face?
Oh, yeah. This is the next UFC fight, dude. I like this because and right now, Marjorie Greene is already, doing the shit-talking, and I'm going to let you watch this video because, again, they're going to debate, and this is Marjorie Greene. This is great.
I'm also happy to tell you that yesterday on the House floor, I happened to finally bump into AOC and I challenged her to a debate about the Green New Deal. You see, I'm a small business owner that has created jobs. I've signed the back of many paychecks. I've also built the economy as a job creator, a business owner. We actually build the economy. Let me tell you what AOC has never done. She's never created one job. She has not built the economy. She's only in the business of trying to tear it down. And that's exactly what I told her when I spoke with her yesterday on the House floor. We're going to debate. I told her, she asked me if I had read her 14-page Green New Deal. I said, I've read some of it. And she said, well, when you read all of it, then you can challenge me to a debate. Well, the good news is I've read all 14 little pages, and I'm very ready to debate her on the House floor. So this is what we're going to be doing. The date hasn't been set, but when it is set, I will let you know.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
She better show up. If she chickens out, then she shows exactly who she really is, a scared little girl that is pretty stupid and doesn't.
She should have called her a scared little
about
bitch.
The economy or economics, and she boasts that she She's does not because she has a degree in economics, but she doesn't have enough common sense to actually be able to produce anything in the real world. She just has a government job. So I just wanted to fill you guys in on what's going on. Here's the plan going forward. It's going to be America.
All right. I just like when she goes after her.
So yeah. Speaking of, you know, how climate change is racist, Nickelodeon is under the gun right now because, you know, they ran a whole campaign just over the weekend, pissed a lot of parents off, called environmental racism, where they were showing how the environment is racist, where, you know, cars on a highway and they were like, oh, in the South Bronx, all the pollution, all those poor little kids in the South Bronx have, as you know, 20 times more, you know, their asthma is, you know, 20 times worse than, you know, somebody in a white kid living out in the farm somewhere. So they were trying to show like urbanism is racist because of the pollution. Well,
okay,
that's pretty interesting. Okay. That Nickelodeon is all in on this now.
Thank God I don't have cable. Jesus.
Dude, it's getting out of control. Everything is racist. Math is racist. Cup of noodles are racist. Fucking environment's racist. Yeah. Highways are racist. Fucking I'm racist. Everybody's racist. Yeah. The only language people that aren't racist are the racists. The only people that aren't racist are the racists. Jesus. Seriously.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the party that started the freaking Ku Klux Klan.
KKK.
Is still around. And that's the party that like everybody's listening to. It's like, first of all, you guys should at least change your goddamn name. Let's start off with that. You know what I mean? Like how do you keep that name?
They don't have to.
No, they don't have to. Cause exactly.
They don't have to. They got everybody brainwashed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey man, people that call out racism all the time are racists because it takes a racist to know a racist. Me, I'm like, oh, fuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I make fun of white people all the time. Shit.
They're obsessed with race. That's, to me, that's what it is. They're obsessed with race. And it's like, you don't need to be. If that's your lens that you're looking at the world through, everything that you look at is going to seem racist. You know what I mean? Like, I never, I had a friend of mine one time, you know, he was like so adamant. He was like, I don't understand why, you know, you don't see racism. I'm like, I can count it in one hand the times I've experienced racism, like overt, like somebody literally said something. And he's like, what? I experience it daily. And I'm like, where are you going to freaking Klan rallies? Like, what the fuck? Like, how are you experiencing this daily? You know what I mean? Like, but even at a Klan rally, I'm sure they take a fucking break. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus Christ, daily? You know what I mean? Like, they do go to... They do take sabbaticals.
Wait, like time out. We gotta take a break from this.
All right. I love Jerry.
No, but seriously.
Honest, man. Like, seriously, where are you going? Where are you going that you experience this daily? Shit, man. Wow.
Oh, I can imagine. You remember the Looney Tune cartoons where the dog is beating up the cat or whatever, and then the whistle blows and they stop hitting each other and they walk over to the clock and they punch out because they're union. Exactly. Yeah. The clan's doing the same thing.
It's like, come on, man, they gotta see their family too every now and then. Shit. What are you?
But I don't know.
No, like I said, you have to view the world through the lens of fucking race. And it's like this permanent, you know, I don't know if you saw this video. Posobiec retweeted it. And it's this guy who goes around talking about how all white people are racist. I forget he's some black guy, but I forget what his name is. I wish I knew his name. Anyways, so he goes around claiming, you know, all white people are racist and he's out to prove it. He's at this, I don't know how this came about, but this is what he recorded. He's at a hotel. I think it's a Hilton or somewhere. Mary, I don't know where it's at, but it's a hotel. And he's basically harassing the guy who's helping him out. And when he starts recording, You know, he's basically
the Holiday Inn.
The Holiday Inn. And the guy, a lot of people are saying he looks like he has autism. Something's wrong with this kid. You know, he looks like a pretty young kid. And so he's berating him. You know, he's like, you know, how can you be? So it's my fault, blah, blah. And the kid's like, literally out of nowhere, the kid starts punching his face. He's just like going crazy. Starts hitting his head on the screen. And the guy is like literally recording, you know, through the whole time. He's like, what the hell's wrong with you? And the kid's like crying, like, you know, and people are just comment after comment. It's like, bro, this is not it. You're trying to show racism. You're obviously showing somebody with a mental issue, and you're putting this all over the internet. You know, this is not it, man. You know, a lot of other black people are telling him, you got to remove this, man. This is beyond, you know, what, but again, this person views the world through that lens that every white person is a racist. Meanwhile, he forgets to see the signs of somebody who's obviously has mental problems. You see what I'm saying? Like this kid is going through whatever he's going through, and, you know, he now puts him on. And so Posobiec retweeted this and says, man, this is wrong and this is sick. But we allow this when we continue to propagate this idea that all cops are bad, that and nobody stands up for this. And, you know, that's why I support Candace, because Candace Owens comes out and says, no, you know, even with the Chauvin thing, he's like, she's not going to allow these people to 1 inch, because 1 inch and they'll claim racism and it'll be an excuse for all their shortcomings. Because they'll never want to see that if I don't clean up my neighbors, if I don't clean up my act, I cannot progress in life. No, it's got to be somebody else's fault. That's why I love what she says, and I'm with that. You know, fuck this shit. I'm done. Anyway, yep.
Yeah, that video was a little.
Did you
crazy,
see it?
Man? Like when that kid.
Yeah.
Kid starts punching himself in the face. He punches the thing. I was like, At first, I thought it was just a quacked out kid, but then I was like, oh, okay. Like, I watched it a few times just trying to figure out what triggered the guy. But again, you don't see the whole thing, because apparently that kid responded to the viral video saying, yes, I'm the one. But he's like, what you didn't see in that video was I told the guy, look, I have some mental, I'm trying to, let me collect my thoughts. And he just kept going at him. And then when he started recording, he was at that mental breakdown point, right? But
I think racism.
People then.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like to me, look, I know people who have kids who are, you know, who are autistic and who have social problems. You know what I mean? Like this is something, look, whatever we want to blame for what's happening, you know, this increase in autism, this increase in all this and all that. I don't know. But it's out there. Right. But now you have somebody recording somebody who's suffering from this and claiming, oh, well, this is an example of white supremacy. It's like, no, that's a kid with mental issues, man. You're I don't know where you're going with this. But again, it just
yeah, that one blew up in his face.
It did. Because a lot of people were commenting on that post and saying, bro, you got to take this down. You know, you could get banned from Twitter for this, because this is obviously somebody who's.
You should get banned from Twitter.
No, they won't get banned for that.
He wasn't making
fun of the kid for being autistic or anything like that. He was just trying to say, like, your company made a mistake and you're, you know, doing whatever.
Okay, but
and
Tim,
why did you hit the computer? Because the kid hit the computer originally, right. And he's like, why are you hitting the computer? Why are you taking it out of the computer? And then he kept going and pushing it, but it was like, dude, like, like at that point when he hit the computer and told you they had a mental issue. Maybe back off a little bit, but that's why he wouldn't never get banned from Twitter. It's not like he went up to him and beat the piss out of him and said, it's because you're, you know, you're autistic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was a customer that was pissed off.
Right. Right. Look, again.
And it just blew up in his face.
All right.
That's all. I think he was a pissed off customer.
I think we're going to leave it there. I do have a few, going to leave it on a happy note, unless you have anything else.
Yay,
Tim,
did
you
want happy notes. No, I'm so sick and tired of all this shit that I just, wow. It's nauseating. Like, I was thinking about this the other day.
Yeah.
There is no good collective way to fix any of these problems. You want
to
know why?
No, there's ways to fix it.
No. You want
to
know why? Because nobody can actually sit down and have real conversations about, okay, well, where do these problems stem from? Right. I always say, you know, you look at cities run by, okay, take away that, but look at communities, look at how people treat each other and everything else. Look at social media. Like, nobody ever wants to address problems. They want to tell you that, oh, there's so many problems out there, but throwing money at a problem doesn't fix a lot of things. It's got to start with people. People got to actually want to fix things. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to want to fix these problems. And then you have to look, where do these problems stem from? Right? It doesn't matter. But if you're not going to look and target the root of the problem in anything, right? When you trouble, like we do, we work in IT. You look at a, you know, when someone's like, oh, I got this problem. You just don't, oh, see, shit implementation. You know, yeah. you don't jump to that. You open it up. You say, what's your problem? Well, X, Y, and Z is happening. Okay. You look, you dig through some logs, you do some investigation, and then you ask some more questions. Be like, hey, can you tell me what, you know, just show me. And then you see, you're like, oh, now I understand what you're doing, and now I know where to go, and I can fix that problem now. Now I find the right log, and I come back and say, well, this is what you were doing, and this is what you need to do to fix it. Right? You got pissed off, and then you find out that it's your own fault by us having a conversation half the time. You know what I mean? But here, we just turn around and say, it's everybody else's fault. Everybody has a part to play in every part of a problem, right? That's how it was. Everybody has a part to play, because if problems didn't exist, we'd have nothing to bitch about, you know? But everybody has a part to play in a problem, but also everybody has a part to play in a solution, right? But we don't look at it like that, because we can't have a conversation, because everybody wants to get all upset, you know? If you talk about racial tensions, you bring up certain, black people go to white people and say, well, it's because you guys treat me like this. Like, I've never done, you know, and it always gets heated. And then if a white person goes, well, it's because of X, Y, Z, then they get heated. It's like, no, you guys got to be able to have normal conversations and say, what is the problem? Right. Yeah, and then you go, okay, you tell me there's all these problems. What would you suggest as a solution? Well, you got to abolish it. No, that doesn't work, because that doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? Things don't make sense, right? How can we come up with good solutions that benefit everybody, or, you know, well, help solve the problem?
The biggest
politicians
problem
don't
is,
do it. People need to do it.
Right. The politicians will never do it, because the biggest problem is you need to take a look at the people that are having problems and make a judgment and say, you need to stop doing X, Y, and Z. And you can't do that today. You can't look at a person and say, you are doing this wrong. Stop doing that. Because then it's like, oh, well, you're judging me and you're telling me what to do and you think you're better than me and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden you become the bad guy.
Yeah. When they say heart disease is at an all time high, and then you look and you're like, well, there's some simple solutions to that. Nope. You can't say that because that's fat shaming. No, it's not
exactly.
Fat shaming.
Exactly.
We should be doing campaigns for a healthy diet.
I look at it what Ronald Reagan said, right? You know, the scariest words in English language is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. I think that this has been the common misconception that we have had, that we think, well, government is there to fix problems. It is the difference between how Ted Kennedy saw the world and how John F. Kennedy saw the world. John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Ted Kennedy said this about Robert Kennedy, one of his favorite quotes that Robert Kennedy said, which is, some men see things as they are and ask why. I dream of things that never were and ask why not. That's Democrats. They dream of things that never exist and ask, why can't it be like that? They dream of utopia and say, why not? That is crazy thought. This is why I align more with John F. Kennedy. It's not the government's job there to see what, you know, to fix me. It's our job as individual citizens to fix this, not some. But see, this is what happens is when people rely on the government to fix their problems, people become less giving. And you see that over and over again, because it's like, oh, I don't have to do it. Go through the fucking government. I don't care. It's not my problem. Yeah. Society becomes less giving, less compassionate when government expands. So the answer always has been for conservatives, the smaller the government, the better it is for societies. The government is not there to fix shit.
But they need to explain that to people better, because when they say that, it doesn't click for a lot of people, because they're like, oh, it's easy to say because you're rich. But it's like, nah, dude, there's probably more broke Republicans than there are rich Republicans. You know what I mean? As weird as people don't realize that, it's just that their values, they value, when people talk values, they value things differently. They value their God, their family, their world. They don't give a shit about half this crap that this half these woke motherfuckers are talking about. They don't even see shit like that. They're like, I go to work all day long. I don't got time to think about, you know, oh my God, what's your pronoun? Like, I don't got time to think about that. I got to go provide for my family. Yeah. I got to raise my kids to make sure that my kids aren't shithead kids, that my fucking wife doesn't fucking bang the pastor next door because I'm working all the time. You know what I mean? Like, I had to make you guys laugh. But most conservatives.
Oh, that was funny.
Most conservatives try to live their life as pure as possible and do what they can for their family because that's what they value. They don't idolize Hollywood and this, that, and the glitz and glamour. Those guys are out on a farm busting their ass.
Yeah.
Busting their ass. They're more real than anybody. And when you talk to them, they're happy. They're happy people. They're simple. They don't. We live in this life where we got to have this and we got to have that. And oh, I got to live to go to this club. I got to sit at this table to be seen. And it's materialistic bullshit that distracts us from just being good human beings. Because now when you sit at that table and you look at everybody else, you feel above them. And now right there, I'm better than everybody. I'm more elite than you. I got the better table. I got the better looking guy and this. And it's just materialistic bullshit. Like, you can't solve no problems because that same bitch that's sitting over there would be the same one to look at you and fucking put her nose down to you. Because I'm better than everybody. You're a cunt. You know, or the dude, like, you're an asshole. You know what I mean? But you see so much more of that, man. And that's where this American idealism is no longer about, you know, love my country and love my, you know, like, do good for me. It's me, 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 me. It's me, 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 me. What's good for me, me, me? They will step over a motherfucker that's bleeding out because we've seen it.
Mm-hmm. No, they'll pull their cameras out and video it, dying instead of helping.
Every other time, you know, whether it doesn't matter, any situation, nobody steps up and goes, this shit is wrong. We need to stop this. They don't do it. They don't do it. They take out their phone. They turn the other way. They don't want to be bothered.
That
would have never happened.
Well, look, that's going to start a conversation. And maybe we should. I think we should have this conversation. I know me and Jeremy have had heated debates on this. And it's a conversation worth having because there's a lot of people who, you know, view it like Jeremy does. And there's a lot of people who view it like me. And the premise of it is I believe that society has suffered the consequences of us saying, we can abolish the idea of God in our institutions, in our schools, and all this. We have, for the most part, and yet here we are 30 years later suffering the consequences of this. I believe it's a direct result of that when we told people you can live your life how you want. But I'm saying is like you're saying, well, let's get to the root of this. I believe there is a root. Look, I think that we should have this debate one day and just sit down and come to the table and it'll be worth for everybody because I know me and Jeremy, like I said, we've had drunk debates on this shit and we haven't done it on the podcast, but I think it's worth it because a lot of people, agree with Jeremy.
I've never been drunk a day in my life.
What's interesting to your point, I used to be on the more on Jeremy's side. Like that's how I always used to view it. Fuck religion. Get that shit out of here. Like keep it completely separate and they're crazy people and all this. But again, as now I'm getting older and you start looking around, you know, motherfuckers got no moral code no more. Mm. What taught moral? I understand it's a parent's responsibility to teach morals. All right,
let's do this. I think you can be the moderator between me and Jim because you seem to be more like in the middle. And I think it'll be great. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that's what we can dedicate the next podcast to and literally have this debate.
Hold on. I'm going to pull an AOC. You need to read the whole Bible and then we'll talk about it.
Oh, shit. He probably has read the whole Bible.
Have you read the whole thing?
I don't haven't read the whole thing. No, I've read a good portion of it, but I've never read.
You read the whole thing, and then we'll have a debate.
I kind of got bored during Numbers and Deuteronomy and all those the law books. I was like, okay, I can't be honest. But yeah, some of the stories.
Like, there's no naked chicks in here, man.
We can talk about.
There's no naughty stories in here. Fuck this.
Oh, there are naughty stories. This is where you're wrong. There's a lot of naughty stories in the Bible.
And demonetized.
All right. Let's end it on a happy note. All right. I'm gonna call this one. I'm going to call this one, Sign Me Up. I'm just going to love this one.
I've done it.
What the what?
It's two little people kicking a ball.
Playing soccer.
Watch this. Watch this.
Football?
Is it just two? Just the two of them.
Just two of them. Yeah.
This is so fucked up.
Oh, he's good.
I love
Jeremy's
it.
Face.
Oh,
Jeremy's
my God. Face. I don't know what to do.
When he kicked his back leg and he fell on his head.
Rolled off the ball.
I'm like, sign me up. All right. All right, one more. One more and we're done.
I can't breathe.
All right. This one's a milk and a cow. Sorry.
Supposed to dip your hand in the water. Wait, is that what exactly
is? Dip it in there, London.
Make your hand wet.
Your hand is
did you dip it, London?
No.
Dip your hand in the
keep
water.
Keep moving.
Did he dip his hand?
Yeah, right here.
No.
Yeah, right here. Just like that.
This is going to end really bad.
Are you scared?
Why is it Auntie Chante's card?
The smell.
It's a penis.
He was like, I'm falling for that.
It really was his udder, though.
It was a cow. He's trying to milk a cow, and he touched the udder and said, that's a penis.
Did you dip it, London?
No.
That's hilarious.
You ain't going to trick me.
Yeah, right here.
No.
Yeah, right here. Just like that.
He's serious too.
Are you scared?
Why is it Auntie Chante's card?
The smell.
It's a penis.
Oh. He's like, you ain't gonna trick me. I know this.
He's like, that's a penis.
All right.
Oh, that's hilarious.
We'll leave it there. We'll leave it there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on another episode of The Salty Show. Find us on some of the social media applications. What are we on? Instagram. Hey, when is Trump's thing? What happened to Mike Lindell's app, dude? That shit was like not it. It was bad.
Well, it's like conservatives day. It's always a letdown.
Jesus. I'm holding my breath for Trump's app. We'll see how that one's at. But supposedly it should be coming out here in the next couple months. So we'll see. All right. Give us a follow. Hit the like button and share some of the content. And we will catch you all next time. Adios.
Guten Tag.
See ya.
Wash your hands.
Not in that order.